Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, May 2nd. The House and Senate are getting closer to finalizing a bill to fund the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. But as Benta Berkland reports, possible changes to the agency have been controversial from the start.
On Friday, it looked like lawmakers had finally reached a compromise. Senate Republicans stripped out some of the more contentious changes and settled on adding a member to make it a 9-member commission. Republican Senator Bob Gardner of Colorado Springs also limited the number of appointments the governor would make. The legislature would make the others.
I think this is not perfect for anyone. It's also a major step forward for everyone, I believe.
3 of the 9 members would need to be unaffiliated, and then 3 from each major party. Senate Democrats are on board, but House Democrats aren't, saying the changes could radicalize the commission, which is set up to hear civil rights cases. The bill already cleared the House and will likely end up in a conference committee to iron out differences between the versions both chambers passed. I'm Benta Berkland.
The journalism landscape in Colorado continues to change. A newspaper editor who was fired by the Boulder Daily Camera believes it's a matter of time before the newspaper's current business model forces the 128-year-old Daily to close its doors. Roz Brown has more.
A Boulder newspaper editor says his recent firing could have a chilling effect on other Colorado newspapers that are controlled by the hedge fund Alden Global Capital. Boulder Daily Camera editor Dave Krieger was fired last week after self-publishing a piece highly critical of Alden, which owns 50 newspapers across the country, including the Camera, the Denver Post, and other papers along the Front Range and Eastern Plains. Krieger's column was originally meant to appear on the Camera's editorial page days after the Denver Post published similar critical opinions of Alden for its plans to cut 1/3 of the paper's staff this year. When the Camera's publisher refused to print Krieger's editorial, Krieger self-published it on a blog and was fired days later. He says it was the first time the paper had censored his content.
This violated the basic and really sort of sacred norm in journalism, which is that journalists make those decisions and business people do not. That's just rule number one. And there's no decent journalism organization in the country that does not abide by that rule.
Denver Post editors have called on Alden to sell the paper rather than continue reducing staff and its ability to provide Front Range news coverage. Attempts to contact Alden Global Capital or Digital First Media for a response have been unsuccessful so far. Krieger argues that Alden continues to drain cash from its newspapers by cutting staff, but local readers are unaware that's what's causing their pages and local coverage to shrink.
This is an important story for Boulder, and Boulder should know it. Its newspaper is on the verge of death. It's in a death spiral.
Alden took over the papers in 2010 and runs them through Digital First Media. But Krieger says many readers who subscribe to one of the papers aren't aware their news source is being strangled by a hedge fund because stories critical of the owners aren't printed. Digital First Media has eliminated 2 out of every 3 staff positions at its media properties since 2010. For Colorado News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
A bipartisan bill that would clarify and update how public and private colleges and universities in Colorado address sexual assault on campus was heard in the state Senate last week. The measure passed in the House with no Republican support. Benta Berkland has more on the bill and why some in the GOP have concerns about it.
Advocates of the bill say 1 in 5 women are sexually assaulted during their college years. Jess Davidson from Fort Collins was one of them. She's a graduate of the University of Denver, but 3 years ago, she says she was raped off campus by a friend who had lived in her dorm freshman year.
I spent the last 6 weeks of my senior year of college experiencing so much anxiety from having to be on the same campus as my rapist that I would leave the library to vomit when I would see him.
After reporting it, she says she wasn't told what the timeline would be for her case and didn't understand when it was delayed.
Because of the time of year that I reported, that 32-day delay resulted in my assailant being found guilty after graduation and being allowed to walk away with his degree.
The House bill would require more transparency and updates to alleged victims. It also puts into law what a lot of schools are already doing. Things like using preponderance of the evidence, banning cross-examination, and not using an accuser's sexual history against them. Ronna Simmons is the director of policy at the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault and helped work on the bill.
This bill creates a clear and consistent policy to address and prevent sexual misconduct on college campuses.
But not everyone's on board, including Republican Representative Lang Sias of Arvada. He voted against it in the House because he says it didn't make enough improvements to the process universities use. One of his concerns is that the same person or office gathers evidence, prosecutes cases, and determines disciplinary action.
Anytime that you have one individual or one officer, department, or entity that is responsible for all three of the functions, anytime that's unified in one place, if there is bias by an individual in that process or an institutional bias, I think you have to worry.
Sias also wants an accuser and the person being accused to have a lawyer involved in the process if they want to.
The way the bill reads and the way current CU policy is, that advisor or lawyer is not able to participate in that inquiry, is essentially a potted plant. And any parent who had a child in that situation, whether they are the victim or the accused, would want the representing attorney to have the ability to participate.
Sias says this can be done in a way that doesn't amount to a cross-examination. But that's where supporters like Ronna Simmons disagree.
Conversations that really get into the weeds about campuses across the state adopting prescriptive procedures is probably a conversation that needs to take place in a separate bill.
No Republicans in the House backed the bill. For it to pass the Republican-controlled Senate, it will first need to pass the Senate Judiciary Committee. Republican Senator Bob Gardner chairs the committee. He understands the concerns about legal representation.
I have heard from victims. If there's a full-blown defense attorney and full-blown cross-examination, victims will be intimidated. Victims will be subjected to mistreatment and so forth. Well, some of that needs to be the responsibility of the fact finder to ensure that that doesn't occur.
Like Sias, Gardner agrees schools need to improve their current practice. He'd like to see a civil process that's more in line with the court system, even if it is expensive.
You see things like the Duke University cases where it all fell apart under scrutiny, but then you hear as many cases of victims who felt like they weren't treated properly. At my own alma mater, the United States Air Force Academy, it has been a source of disappointment to me over the last decade and a half that there were cases not properly dealt with.
Supporters worry that any significant changes could undo the broad backing for the bill that took months to cultivate. Jess Davidson says even just the transparency piece alone would have made a difference in her case. The issue of sexual harassment and sexual assault are gaining more traction nationally with the Me Too movement. Both parties say passing a bill on this university sexual assault issue is a priority, and they hope they can find middle ground. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.